You're at 10,500 feet. Smooth air, morning sun through the windshield, weather radar clear. The Atiz at your destination is reporting calm winds, and then 3 seconds of violence that sends your water bottle into the headliner and your heart rate to 150. Nobody called it. Nothing on the radar. The GAirMet was clean. The pilot weather report from an hour ago said smooth. So why did a Delta Airbus on the airway above you know it was coming? I'm Vector on Cleared Direct Radio Hangars Technology Show, and today we're going deep on a weather measurement that most general aviation pilots have never heard of, but one that commercial aviation has been quietly building into a real-time, continuously updated turbulence map for years. The technology is called Eddy Dissipation Rate. The story of how it works, who's using it, and what it means for your next pre-flight briefing is exactly the kind of thing we need to sit down and work through. Let me set the stage first, because to understand why eddy dissipation rate matters, you have to understand what came before it, and what came before it is the pilot weather report, the PIREP pilot. Weather reports have been the backbone of real-time atmospheric turbulence reporting since basically the dawn of instrument flight. A pilot hits rough air. The pilot calls center or files a written report. That report goes into the system. Another pilot, maybe 20 minutes later, maybe 2 hours later, maybe never gets that information. Here is the fundamental problem. PIREPs are subjective. Light chop to one pilot is moderate turbulence to another. There is no standardized unit of measurement. The report is binary in the worst possible way. Either somebody filed one or they didn't. And the coverage map looks like Swiss cheese. The airways between major hubs have decent PIREP coverage. The airspace over rural Montana at 3 in the morning? Almost nothing. The oceanic routes, historically, almost zero. I want to be clear, I'm not dismissing PIREPs. Filed accurately and with specificity, they are genuinely useful, and I still brief them before every cross-country flight. But the design has a fundamental limitation baked in. Human-generated reports are sparse, inconsistent, and almost always describing conditions that already passed. That gap is what eddy dissipation rate was designed to close. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. So what exactly is eddy dissipation rate, and why the name the physics here is genuinely elegant? Atmospheric turbulence is, at its core, kinetic energy in the air mass that transfers into your airframe. Meteorologists describe that energy in terms of how it cascades through different scales of atmospheric motion. Large eddies, large swirling structures in the air, break down into medium eddies. Medium eddies break into smaller ones. Eventually, that energy dissipates as heat at the molecular level. The rate at which that cascade is happening, the eddy dissipation rate, is a direct, objective, mathematically defined measurement of how turbulent the atmosphere is at a given point in space and time. The unit is meters to the 2/3 power per second. You do not need to memorize that. What you need to know is that EDR gives you a standardized, objective number, a number that doesn't depend on who is flying, how long they've been flying, or how they personally describe what they felt through the seat of their pants. Smooth air has a low EDR. Severe turbulence has a high one. Same scale, same units, every aircraft, every time. And here's where it gets technically interesting. Modern commercial aircraft are loaded with sensors, accelerometers, air data computers, inertial reference systems. These systems are continuously measuring the forces acting on the airframe. Engineers realize that you can analyze those sensor readings in real time, apply the right algorithms, and compute an EDR value automatically, without any pilot input at all. The aircraft does the measurement itself. Every few seconds, the airplane calculates its own turbulence reading and transmits it through its ACAR system. That's the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System. The data link that airlines have used for decades to exchange operational data with dispatchers on the ground. Think about what that means in practice. Every modern commercial airliner in the sky is now an automated weather station. Not one report per hour from a pilot who noticed something unusual enough to call it in. Continuous, standardized, objective measurements from every aircraft streaming to the ground in near real time. The platform built to harness this is called Turbulence Aware. It's a collaboration between Airlines for America, the Trade Association for U.S. Commercial Carriers, and the National Center for Atmospheric Research, which you might know by the acronym NCAR. The concept is simple in theory and staggering in execution. Aggregate all of those EDR reports from all of those aircraft into a single coherent picture. give meteorologists, dispatchers, and eventually pilots a live map of where turbulence is actually occurring across the route network right now. That data flows into the National Weather Service and directly informs the forecast products the Aviation Weather Center produces. One of the key beneficiaries is the Graphical Turbulence Guidance product, called GTG. This is a grid-based forecast showing expected turbulence intensity at specific flight levels across the continental United States. Before Turbulence Aware and widespread EDR reporting, the GTG was essentially a model output. Sophisticated meteorological modeling, but still a forecast with all the uncertainty that implies. Now it's being validated and corrected in near real time by actual atmospheric measurements from hundreds of aircraft flying the same airspace the model is trying to predict. The accuracy improvement at certain altitudes and in clear air turbulence scenarios has been meaningful and documented. Here's what most people miss about how this system actually improves over time. The value isn't only in showing you where turbulence is happening right now. That's useful. But the deeper application is training the numerical weather prediction models every time an airplane reports smooth air, where the model predicted turbulence, or moderate chop, where the model said clear. That's a real-world data point that feeds back into the next forecast cycle. The models get calibrated against reality continuously. Not because meteorologists sat down and rewrote the equations, but because the system is learning from millions of actual measurements. That is a fundamentally different approach to forecast improvement than anything that existed 15 years ago. Clear air turbulence deserves specific attention here, because it's the case where this technology matters most. Convective turbulence, the rough air you get near thunderstorms, is at least partially visible. Radar helps. You can see the storm building. You have some warning. Clear air turbulence has none of those cues. It occurs in cloud-free air, often well away from any weather system, most commonly near jet streams, where wind shear creates those atmospheric eddies we talked about. Your radar is useless. There is nothing to see outside. The first warning is the event itself. Clear air turbulence is responsible for the majority of in-flight injury events in commercial aviation. The incident we covered on this show, where severe turbulence sent 25 passengers to the hospital on a Delta flight, is not an outlier. Hundreds of people are injured in in-flight turbulence events in the United States every year. And the majority of those events were not predicted with enough specificity to allow a meaningful avoidance maneuver. That's the problem. Turbulence Aware and EDR reporting are directly attacking. When your fleet of aircraft is continuously measuring the atmosphere and reporting back, you start building a picture of where clear air turbulence is actually occurring in real time, not where a model thought it might occur several hours ago. The platform is now generating roughly 4 million EDR observations per month across the United States. That number has been growing consistently as more airlines integrate the reporting pipeline and as the fleet transitions to newer aircraft with more capable data link systems. The more observations go in, the better the output products get. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. This is great for the airlines. What does it mean for the pilot filing an IFR flight plan in a Piper Seneca or a Cirrus SR-22? Let me be honest about where the technology actually stands for general aviation right now. The direct benefit is currently indirect. The improved GTG products are publicly available to everyone. They show up integrated into ForeFlight, Garmin Pilot, and other planning tools you're probably already using. When you pull up a turbulence forecast overlay on your moving map during pre-flight planning, you're benefiting from turbulence-aware data whether or not you realize it. The product feeding your planning app is smarter than it was 5 years ago because of this system. But the real-time EDR reporting stream, the live feed of individual aircraft measurements, is predominantly a commercial aviation tool right now. The general aviation fleet, even well-equipped general aviation, mostly lacks the ACARS infrastructure to participate in that reporting chain in any significant way. Here's where the future gets interesting. The FAA and the National Weather Service have been running a PIREP modernization working group for several years. And automated turbulence reporting from a broader range of aircraft types is one of the explicit goals Garmin has done research into turbulence measurement using accelerometer data from their certified avionics installations. There are data link and data aggregation companies looking at ADS-B or cellular reporting pathways to bring EDR equivalent measurements from lighter aircraft into the system. The trajectory is toward more aircraft types contributing and more pilots benefiting from the aggregated result. How long that takes and exactly what form it takes, that's still being worked out, but the direction is clear. Let me break this down in concrete terms for how you should be thinking about your own weather briefing right now. You have several layers of turbulence intelligence available to you, and understanding what each one actually represents helps you weight them correctly. Layer 1 is the model forecast. GTG, GAirMets, the forecast discussions from your local weather forecast office. This is where the atmosphere is predicted to be rough, based on meteorological modeling and, increasingly, real-world EDR data being fed back into that modeling. Trust the GTG more than you might have 5 years ago, because the underlying data quality has genuinely improved. Layer 2 is what I'll call the aggregated commercial picture. You don't see individual airline EDR reports in your consumer planning app. But those observations are shaping the gridded products you're looking at. The accuracy of the GTG at jet altitudes has improved substantially because the airline fleet is providing continuous ground truth. Layer 3 is PIREPs. Still worth pulling, still sparse, weight them by recency and specificity. A PIREP from a turboprop at your altitude in the last 30 minutes on your route is worth more than a vague moderate turbulence report filed from a different aircraft type 2 hours ago at a slightly different altitude. Layer 4 is your own observation in flight. Your airspeed needle, your attitude indicator, your seat of the pants. The most real-time turbulence detector available to any of us. No technology changes this one. The technology is making layers 1 and 2 significantly better. It has not replaced 3 and 4, and it is not going to. One more thread worth pulling before we close out. The application of this kind of automated sensor measurement is not staying confined to turbulence. There is active research and early operational work on using aircraft sensor data to measure in-flight icing conditions, wind shear, and temperature deviations from model predictions. Every modern aircraft is already carrying sensors that could contribute to a richer atmospheric picture if we build the infrastructure to harvest and transmit that data. The International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, has been moving towards standardizing EDR as the global metric for turbulence reporting, which sets the stage for this becoming not just a domestic tool, but a worldwide one. International airline routes, where PIREPs have historically been almost non-existent, stand to benefit enormously as the standardized reporting pipeline matures across more carriers and more flag states. That's the real scope of what we're talking about, not just a better turbulence app. A fundamental shift in how we observe the atmosphere from inside the airspace where the weather actually matters to the people flying through it. The National Center for Atmospheric Research has published extensively on the turbulence-aware platform, publicly available documentation if you want to go deeper on the science. The Aviation Weather Center's GTG product is at aviationweather.gov, and it's worth pulling up on your next pre-flight just to see how it compares to what you're used to looking at. AOPA has published useful summaries of the FAA's PIREP modernization effort for pilots who want to understand where the general aviation piece of this is headed. Source notes and links are at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Check the GTG Clear Direct